In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. So it is that the church has exactly what the world desires and cannot find. For we have true peace. Lest the disciples lose sight of this critical truth, our Lord, at the beginning of today's gospel text, points them to what truly matters. For they have seen the kingdom. These words occur immediately after the sending out and return of the 70 disciples, just a bit earlier in Luke chapter 10. These disciples have been sent out by our Lord to preach and to minister on his behalf. And when they return, these disciples report something quite amazing, something that has struck them even more than the task that they've been given to preach. And that is that even the demons were subject to us in your name, these disciples tell the Lord. The power, the influence, and the importance which these disciples must have felt in that moment caused them to return with this kind of excitement that they could not wait to report to their Lord what had happened. The demons are subject to us in your name. And we can understand their excitement, for the qualities of having power and influence and importance, those qualities are magnetic. They're something that we seek out in ourselves, something that we like to seek out in others as well. And yet this desire for power and influence and importance, it's a worldly desire, a worldly way of thinking. We see this all around us in our world today as it seeks power through, most especially at our present time with just over 2 months to go until the presidential election, we see political influence and power being sought by a lot of different people. But it's not just politics. We see this sometimes even in ourselves, maybe at work. We might otherwise be content with the job that we have, and yet there is some lust for power and a promotion and making more money that causes us to strive for more. Or maybe it's at home. A desire for power leads to strength of will being asserted, manipulation and control come from that so that we might have some sense of power and influence and importance. And so through power, the world seeks after control because they think that control is going to lead to prosperity, and most importantly, they think that this power is going to lead to peace. If I can control the things around me, I will have peace. I don't think we need to ask how that's going in the world today, for there is not very much peace out there. And so this must not be the way that Christians think. We must not strive for power. For the Lord rebukes his disciples when they boast about the demons being subject to them. And he says just a few verses before our text for today begins, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. But rather, rejoice because your names are written in heaven." This is what really, truly matters most. Your names are written in heaven. That's the kind of peace that the church has. A heavenly peace. A peace knowing that eternal life is ours. that perfect peace will abide among us eternally. And yet on this side of eternity, it seems that this perfect heavenly and eternal peace eludes us all of the time. Thus we lay awake at night, unable to turn off our minds as we recall the past pains that we have experienced. Or we're going about our day and things seem to be going fairly well until there is an intrusion into our mind where we recall maybe it's a past mistake that we have committed. Maybe it's a sin that's been committed against us. So that unresolved pain from our past will not leave us alone and will not allow us to dwell in that peace that we so desperately desire. And so it is that the peace that passes all understanding, of which the Scripture promises, does not seem to be present with us. We cannot feel it. We cannot see it. Sometimes we maybe even wonder what it even might look like. We often cannot appreciate the peace which Christ gives because we have gotten swept away by the world's striving after power. And so it is that there are two ways that we fall into the world's power struggle. First, we may fall into the world's power struggle by allowing that struggle to shape and define our way of thinking and operating in the world. A clear indicator that this has become the case for you is if you view the world around you, and particularly the United States of America, primarily through the political categories that are being blasted all over the news, especially in these days leading up to the presidential election. If you can't see the world without seeing Democrat and Republican, left and right, liberal and conservative, then you have fallen into the ways of thinking of the world. You have fallen into the world's power struggle. It can also manifest itself in that you pursue above all else the American dream. You think that getting wealthy and having fun is the most important good in life. And so striving after the American dream becomes an indicator that you have fallen into the world's power struggle and it has changed your way of thinking. But that's not the only way that we can fall into the world's power struggle. At times we fall into the world's power struggle by getting run over by it. We get chewed up and spit out by a world that has no time for Christian morals or convictions. We get run over because the world acts as if our values, our ideals, don't matter. And so sometimes the peace that the Lord gives to you has departed from your life, and it may not be your fault. Either way, whether you have fallen prey and become like the world in the power struggle, or whether you have been run over by the world's power struggle, the Lord speaks the parable of the Good Samaritan to you. For you are the certain man in our Lord's parable who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. For Jerusalem is the heavenly city of God, the place where God dwells with his people. And Jericho, that is the cursed city. The city that Joshua put a curse upon, that if anyone should rebuild it, death would come upon his sons. So it is that through sin we leave behind the heavenly city of Jerusalem. We fall into sin, whether it is actual sins that we commit or sins that we suffer. We find ourselves on the way to that cursed city of eternal torment. And on the way, we have fallen among thieves. And notice that these are thieves in the plural. For there is not a singular thief that is after us, but the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh assault us on this road. The devil, the world, and your sinful flesh rob you of your peace. Our Lord says that these thieves strip you of your clothing. They desire to take away your possessions and all that matters to you in this life. And if they are able, they will take away the robe of Christ's righteousness that you have been given in your baptism. And so, like the man in our Lord's parable, you have been wounded. You've been hurt by your own sins and by the sins committed against you. Things can never go back to the way that they were, for you have been left half dead. And without serious and significant intervention, you will die, for the wages of sin is death. But Christ is your good Samaritan, for he has come to you. In his incarnation, he took upon your flesh. He has compassion upon you, for he understands your weakness and pain, having suffered in every way that you do. And Christ went to the cross to take away sin's power over you. He has bandaged your wounds, pouring on oil and wine for the cure for the pain and sin that has afflicted you is Christ's word and sacraments. And so he applies them to you for your healing. And he has also brought you to the inn of the church, where you will remain and be taken care of until he comes back to make all things right. Thus, it is because of what Christ our Lord, our good Samaritan, has done for us, it is because of him that the church has true peace. The good Samaritan gives it in that he delivers you from sin, death, and hell. And yet the fact of the matter is that true peace does not remove you from the world. It does not remove you from the sin and the power struggle that is all around us, at least not yet. But Christ's peace does strengthen you so that you may endure. The world's power struggle is there. It is real. You feel its effects. But it has no ultimate power over you, for you have been freed from it. And yet our Lord is clear in this parable and in his words that follow that true peace is not a freedom from this world, nor is it necessarily a freedom from pain, at least not yet. True peace is not primarily a freedom from, but rather true peace is a freedom for. True peace is a freedom for love. True peace is not something which can be fully experienced alone. In this, it is like happiness, joy, and love. These things cannot be experienced to their fullest extent if they are not shared. It is like a great banquet or feast. It cannot be enjoyed alone. It must be enjoyed in the company of others. Therefore, true peace is shared in love with the neighbor. Thus, Christ's words at the end of our text for today, when he says, "Go and do likewise," are important words, and yet we must understand them rightly. For the words, "Go and do likewise," are not a command to believers. Rather, the words, "Go and do likewise," are an invitation into the fullness of peace and joy and love that Christ offers. See, you have the peace that passes all understanding. You have the fullness of Christ's love, which he gives to you in the word and sacraments to bring you forgiveness, life, and salvation. You have that peace that passes all understanding, and yet it passes all understanding in that it transcends this world. You cannot always see it or observe it. And yet it is there, because your eternal future is secure. You have the promise that the suffering of this life is temporary. It will not endure, for you are free. You are free to love, just as you have been loved. So go and do likewise. Go share the peace that you have received. Share this peace in your home, with your family, with those people that are closest and most important to you. Let this peace abound there in your home. Go share this peace out in the world, whether at work or school or at various activities. Allow yourself to be a person characterized by peace so that others cannot help but look at you and know that there is something different about you. The world cannot observe our peace directly because it is a peace that cannot be observed with the senses. And admittedly, it's a peace that we can't even see and feel all of the time. But it's a peace that we know is real. Because Christ is real. Because Christ comes to us in real ways through his word and through his sacrament. Christ has loved you to the point of death upon a cross so that you might have this peace. And it is a peace which passes all understanding. You cannot comprehend it, but it is yours. And so, my friends, you have Christ's peace that passes all understanding, for the Good Samaritan has laid down his life for you, and you are freed. Freed to love just as you have been loved. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.